first reading is from Jeremiah 31. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, the covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, said the Lord. But this covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord, I will put my law within them. I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another, saying to each other, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. And I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. God, according to your loving kindness, in your great compassion, blot out my offenses.
Wash me through and through from my wickedness, and cleanse me from my sin.
For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me.
Against you only have I sinned, and done what is evil in your sight.
And so you are justified when you speak, and upright in your judgment.
Indeed, I have been wicked from my birth, a sinner from my mother's womb.
For behold, you look for truth deep within me, and will make me understand wisdom secretly.
Purge me from my sin, and I shall be pure. Wash me, I shall be clean indeed.
Make me hear of joy and gladness, that the body you have broken may rejoice.
Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me.
Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me.
Give me the joy of your saving help again, and sustain me with your bountiful Spirit. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
The second reading is from Hebrews 5. God did not glorify himself in becoming a high priest, but was appointed by the one who said to him, You are my son, today I have begotten you. As he said also in another place, You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications, and with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered, and having been made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, having been designated by God as a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And abounding in steadfast love.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. John, the 12th chapter. Jesus is in Jerusalem with his disciples, and John writes, "Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, 'Sir, we wish to see Jesus.' Philip went and told Andrew, then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, 'The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain, but if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name.' Then a voice came from heaven, 'I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again.' The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, 'An angel has spoken to him.' Jesus answered, 'This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself.' He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Now, among the folk who went up to worship at the festival of Passover were some Greeks, some Gentile God-fearers, who come to Philip and say, "Hey, Phil, we would like to see Jesus." Well, wouldn't we all? Wouldn't we all like to see Jesus, and not from some distance the way they do, across a room or across a field or across the centuries for that matter? Wouldn't we like to see Jesus face to face, be able to stand with him eyeball to eyeball, be able to sit with him a while over a cup of coffee or a cup of tea if you prefer, to hear in person what he has to say about God's will for us, what he has to say about God's care about us, what he has to say about God's promises to us, to let him hear in person what we have to say about what troubles us and what concerns us and what burdens us, to share with him our joys and our satisfactions and our pleasures. "Hey, Phil, we'd like to see Jesus," say some Greeks who come to the festival of Passover, to have some time with him, to enjoy some of his company. Well, wouldn't we all? This is not an easy place to be, after all, this world, this life. Not for the Greeks visiting Jerusalem at Passover in John's Gospel. Not for Jesus' own disciples traveling around with him. Certainly not for us trying to make it here in the 21st century. This can be a really hard place, as a matter of fact, this life, this world, full of rough stretches and potholes and dangerous curves, sudden stops and heavy traffic, and I don't just mean the streets and the interstates around San Diego, although I do, and I don't. Besides all of that, illness happens here. sometimes serious illness, life-threatening illness, illness that leaves us unable to do what we did before. Injury happens here, sometimes serious injury that takes away some of our freedom, interferes with our mobility, reorganizes our whole existence. Age happens here, and not always gracefully. Poverty happens here, sometimes quite suddenly. War happens here, generation after generation. We never quite seem to learn how not to do that. This is a hard place, this life, this world, and in the middle of it, where we all are, hey Phil, we'd like to see Jesus, and the sooner, the better. Of course, what Jesus tells his hearers in John's Gospel when Philip and Andrew tell him about those Greeks who are here to see him isn't any easier than this place, any easier than this life, any easier than this world is. In many ways, in fact, it's even harder still. Very truly I tell you, says Jesus, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. It's something every gardener, every farmer, everyone who has ever kept a houseplant knows, that a seed cannot remain a seed, that a seed cannot hang on to its life as a seed, that a seed cannot keep its seedhood, but must be sown in soil, no longer be only a seed, let go its seedy self. Or there cannot be a harvest, there cannot be a garden, there cannot be a forest, there cannot be all that grows. But if that seed dies, if that seed gives itself up, if that seed lets its own being go, it bears harvest. Gardens, forests, and growth galore. It's just that such a death isn't easy. It's death, after all, and dying is a hard thing to do. Yet that is Jesus' call to us. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. This is one of the most challenging things that Jesus says in his whole ministry, and one of the few things Jesus says in all four Gospels. Oftentimes you can find a saying of Jesus in one Gospel or two Gospels, and sometimes in even three Gospels, rarely in all four. This is one of them that's in all four. It's so fundamental to who Jesus is, so fundamental to who we are. Those who love their life lose it. And those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. What we really believe in our heart of hearts, or what we want to believe in our heart of hearts, is that the way to keep what matters to us is to hang on to hang on to it firmly and with both hands if possible. We do it with our money. We do it with our children, we do it with our relationships, we even do it with our churches. Hold them closely enough and we will always be able to have them, we tell ourselves. Even though the more tightly we hold on to anything, the more likely we are to strangle the life right out of it. That's the supreme irony. The more firmly we hold on to anything, the more likely we are to strangle the life right out of it. For what we hold to live, we must hold it in open hands. For what we hold to live, we must hold it in open hands. And that is hard, because what we hold in open hands finally isn't under our control. Try that sometime. It's much harder, you see, to do it this way than to grasp your hands around it. It's finally out of our control. Whoever serves me must follow me, Jesus says, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Now remember that at this moment in John's Gospel, Jesus is in Jerusalem. He has entered the city in triumph to shouts of Hosanna, that's true, but he is on his way to Golgotha. He is on his way to his cross, on his way to his death, like the seed that he's talking about. He's on his way to his own death. He's on his way to holding his own life in open hands beyond his own control. If you want to know what the cross is, it is Jesus holding his own life in open hands beyond his own control. And he says that his servants must be there too, like seed falling into fertile ground, like lives held in open hands, beyond our own control. Scary business, but life in open hands beyond our own control. However hard this place, this life, this world may be, what Jesus has in mind for us is harder still. I think we have to own up to that as followers of Jesus. And yet it is also where we may hope to see Jesus. It is where we may hope to be with Jesus face to face, where we may hope to stand with Jesus eyeball to eyeball, where we may hear Jesus and be heard by Jesus, where we may join Jesus where he is. May God fulfill our hope in these days of Lent. Let everyone say amen.